You take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And we're going to read three verses tonight. We're only going to be dealing with part of one verse. But I want to read the three verses that will be in connection with the topic of what we're talking about, of marks of godly believers. Marks of godly believers. And tonight we're going to be looking at following godly examples. 2 Timothy 3, verse number 10. Paul says here, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Now, these verses stand in contrast with the former verses which dealt with the characteristics of the ungodly in the last days. And verses 10 through 13 here, we have the contrasting marks of godly believers. And we see in verse number 10, there's the following, talks about following godly examples. Verses 11 and 12 talk about enduring persecution. And then verse 13 guarding against evil men. Now tonight we began to look at following godly examples. I decided to break this into, there was no way in the world that I was going to get this into a time frame that would sit well with your sitting portion. Okay, and so I understand that. And so we'll break it down. We're going to take a look at four things tonight, three things next week, Lord willing. And tonight we begin looking at following godly examples. In other words, following those with a testimony of godliness. A godly person follows godly examples. Okay? There's a sharp contrast from the godless marks of those that we mentioned in the previous verses. We saw the ungodly are concerned about self. Remember us talking about that, self and what self wants. Well, we'll see that the godly are concerned about Christ and what Christ wants in our life. You know, we don't look to ourselves and what do I want? It's what does the Lord want in my life? And Timothy had known and had closely observed and had even followed the godly example of Paul. And the words "fully known" there. Let's take a look at verse number 10 again. He said, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine." Thou hast fully known. Now, these things that are listed there in verse 10, Timothy had been able to observe these things, and the Apostle Paul knew that. I think intentionally he was providing a good example for the young preacher Timothy. Young preachers need a good example. And he needed it, and he knew that the people that Timothy would be ministering to at the church at Ephesus were in need of Timothy's godly example to follow him. And so how did Timothy get it? He got it watching Paul, and the same way that his church would get it looking at his life. The words "fully known" means to follow a person so closely that one is always by the person's side, conforming his life to that person. You might say they're their shadow, right? You've heard somebody being somebody's shadow. I mean, they're closely following them and paying attention to them. And it means to join oneself to the person, to become his disciple, and to follow his example. And understand that Paul had lived a godly life as an example before Timothy, and Timothy had seen that godly life and was encouraged to follow in Paul's footsteps. And Paul, he mentions seven things about his life that stand out as a dynamic example. You know, he said, Timothy, you've seen these seven things that I'm telling you about. And these are things that we who are believers must focus upon and follow if we wish to live a godly life pleasing to the Lord. So let's get started here. We see, first of all, there's the mark of sound doctrine or teaching. That's what doctrine means. It means teaching. You know, one's doctrine and teaching does matter. It does matter. It makes a difference. What was the source of Paul's doctrine? What was it that the Apostle Paul had taught? It was the Holy Scriptures. And Timothy knew that. The very Word of God, Paul had declared this time and time again. In fact, when I decided to break this message up, I decided to turn to these passages of Scripture instead of just quoting them to you. I think it'll have a better impact. Let's turn to the first one is found in Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. And we want to look at the first four verses here. Romans 1, verse number 1. Says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, and notice this, separated unto the gospel of God, and it gives us which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Now, Paul was all about the gospel of God. So are the Holy Scriptures. Amen. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. So, when Paul's emphasis was the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that was in tune with the Old Testament scriptures that he possessed. Now, understand, before he got saved, the light didn't really get turned on in Paul's life until he got salvation. He learned the scriptures, and he even learned them at the feet of a Pharisee by the name of Gamaliel. And they were taught in the Old Testament scriptures. When Paul met Christ on the Damascus Road, it's like a light flipped on. The scriptures that he had studied, the scriptures that he had memorized, the scriptures that were really just maybe a mundane before, all of a sudden had life. He saw Jesus all in the scriptures, all in the Old Testament scriptures. How did he do that? Because Jesus is in there. The whole book's about Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation, the whole thing's about him. And so, He is making that distinction here that the gospel of God was promised before by the prophets and the Holy Scriptures concerning Jesus Christ. Look at Romans 1 and verse number 16. We're familiar with this passage. He says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This gospel that he preached that had been prophesied by the Old Testament prophets, and now it has taken place. The provision has been made. Christ has gone to the cross. He's suffered and died, and he's was buried, and then he arose again the third day, showed himself alive after all of that for 40 days. It's all happened because of the power of God. And the power of God is manifest in the gospel. It has the power to turn the light on in anybody's life. Amen? It has the power to take us from hell as a destination to heaven as a destination. And many other things we could talk about. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15, and I want to read the first four verses here. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that which I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you," notice this, "I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." When did Paul receive it? On the Damascus Road. Amen. That's when his light came on to the gospel. Delivered unto you first of all that which also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And again, the Scriptures he's talking about is the Old Testament that prophesied of Christ dying. And that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You see how it's scripturally based? The doctrine that Paul preached, that he taught Timothy, it was all scripturally based. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 2. And we want to get down there, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us." And what word? What word of God? The Old Testament Scriptures. Okay, that's all they had. They didn't have the New Testament at this time. "When ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Now flip a few pages forward and get to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And verse number 16 that we will see later on in this. And he tells here about the Scriptures being profitable for doctrine. 2 Timothy 3:16, "For all Scripture," and again he's talking at that time, all the Scripture that they had was the Old Testament Scriptures. And it includes the New Testament too, you know, this that he's saying, but I want you to understand the Scripture that he had, that's what he was using. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I mean, it's God breathed. That's what the word inspiration means. And is profitable for, there it is, doctrine or teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Look at Titus there. Next page, Titus 1 and verse number 9. And this is giving the qualifications for a bishop. And he said that he must be holding fast, verse 9, "holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine." Where does the doctrine come from? The word. Okay? The word that he's been taught. "May be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." That's why the word of God is so important. Look at Titus 2 in verse number 1. He tells Titus here, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Now, the word "become" there means to tower up, to be conspicuous. In other words, to be suitable or proper. It's to be fit or right. You could say befitting the gospel. Speak those things which befit sound doctrine. That's what it means there. And then the point is this. A godly person must follow the doctrines of godly teachers. A godly person must have nothing to do with the teaching of false teachers. That's why, you know, I'm always telling you, be careful who you listen to. You know, be careful, you know, there's a lot of preachers on TV. Most of them, you don't need to be listening to. I mean, they may have some truth, but they have some things that will take and steer you wrong. And, you know, if somebody, how much poison does it take? You know, and it doesn't take very much, does it? Be very careful about who you listen to. A godly person must have nothing to do, though, with teaching false teachers. A person cannot live godly unless he He knows godliness. And a person cannot teach godliness unless he follows after godliness. So a godly person closely observes and follows after those who live godly lives. He is a disciple of godly examples, those with godly examples. He follows the godly teaching of godly people. So there's the mark of sound doctrine or teaching. Secondly, there's the mark of godly behavior and conduct. Mark of godly behavior and conduct. Back to our text, one page back there. And we see there, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine," and he calls it "manner of life." My doctrine and manner of life. Manner of life is talking about the mode of Paul's living. In other words, you could look at the Apostle Paul and you can say, you know, his life measures up with the Word. His life measures up with what he teaches. He practices what he preaches. Paul practiced what he preached. He lived what he taught. He professed to be a follower of Christ. And as Timothy looked at Paul's life, he could tell that Paul indeed followed Christ. And Paul was not one that lived in sin. He's not one that practiced sin. That doesn't mean that he didn't commit sins from time to time. We all do. But he did not live in that sin. He did not practice in sin. But rather, Paul lived in the righteousness of Christ. Remember him saying, "For me to live is Christ." For me to live is Christ. I mean, that was his goal in life, is for his life to measure up with the life of Christ, the life that Christ would have for him. So Paul did not profess one thing and do another. And Paul told Timothy that he was to do the same. And listen, so are we who are believers. A believer is to be a godly person who behaves himself. And that is, he conducts his life like he should. You might call it conduct becoming of a Christian. You heard conduct becoming unbecoming of an officer. We can have conduct unbecoming of being a Christian too. We're to have conduct that is becoming of Christ. We're to actually live what we profess, not to pull down what we teach by what we do. You know, if you say one thing and you do another, people say hypocrite. Yeah, and rightfully so. The believer is not only to teach godliness, but he is also to live godly. Let's take a look at some passages here. Look at Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 35. And understand here that Paul is getting ready to depart. And he's giving the church, the elders of the church at Ephesus, some departing words here. And he talks to these men of God. And he says here in Acts 20 and verse 35, he says, "I have showed you all things." Again, he lived the example before them. "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." He said, "I have showed you all things." It says a lot, doesn't it? 1 Corinthians 4:16. Paul said, "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." Be ye followers of me. And then 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 1, he told him again, he said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Now let's look at Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. We're going to take a look at verse here in Philippians 3 and one in Philippians 4. Philippians 3 and look at verse number 17. Well, let's back up to verse 15. So let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything you shall be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, it's talking about in our walk with the Lord, and whatever how far you've gotten down the road with the Lord, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. In other words, don't allow yourself to slip back. Verse number 17, brethren, be followers together of me. Paul was not ashamed to say, hey, follow me like I follow Christ. Be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an ensample. It says, you know, look out for other people that have a good testimony. Walk with them. So we see these things. 2 Thessalonians 3:7, Paul said these words. He says, for yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. And then in 2 Timothy 1:3, Paul said, told Timothy earlier in the passage here that we're reading, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So there's the mark of sound doctrine or teaching. There's the mark of godly behavior and conduct. And then we see thirdly, there's the mark of a godly purpose. The mark of a godly purpose. There in 2 Timothy 3, verse number 10, thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose is the third thing there. Now, let's turn to Acts chapter number 26 to see Paul's purpose. Acts 26. You know that the Lord gave him a purpose for living his life. Now, he had a purpose all his own before he came to know the Lord. Purpose that he thought was God's purpose for his life, and that was persecuting Christians. He thought, you know, those Christians don't have it together. You know, they're not properly following God. You know, he was followed the old Jewish traditions, the old Jewish way of life, and he was all about persecuting and putting to death, seeing that folks would get put to death that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he met Jesus on the Damascus Road. And let's look at what he says here in Acts 26 and verse number, let's back up to verse number 13. He said, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven. He's given this to his Damascus journey here. He's headed to go do some more Christians in. And at midday, as he's on that trip, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining around round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And I'll just pause here just a minute. Whatever you do to the Lord's church, you do to him. Yeah. Who was Paul persecuting? Persecuting the church, believers. And he said, you persecuting me. Think of verse 16. Here's what the Lord told him. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And he tells Agrippa there, he says, wherefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. And he did exactly God's purpose for his life. Now understand that there is both a general purpose that applies to each and every believer, as well as a specific purpose or purposes for us personally. Now, part of Paul's godly purpose was the general purpose that the Lord gave him, and the Lord gave it to Timothy, and the Lord gives it to us. And you know what that purpose is. It's the Great Commission. It's to get the gospel out to a lost and dying world. And that we know that fulfilling the Great Commission is what the Lord would have us to do. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. That teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you means that it doesn't apply just to preachers. Okay? Everyone that they reached with the gospel, they were to teach them to do what they had done. And so it's not just to preachers and teachers, but to every believer. And we all to have a part of that. Amen. There are multitudes in this world who still need to know man's greatest need has been met by the one who alone could meet the need, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is the only one that can meet that. Forgiveness of sin and eternal life are now possible through Christ's provision in His gospel. I mean, that was His very purpose in coming, to seek and to save that which was lost, to die for man's sin so that man could be freed from the bondage of sin. Through Christ's work of the gospel, any person on the face of the earth can now both be delivered from eternal death and hell and can have eternal life and live forever. Every soul has that potential. But the catch is that they have to hear the gospel and believe the gospel. Romans 10, look at Romans 10. And I think we're going to cut off after we'll plan on doing four tonight and three next week. We're going to do three tonight, and we'll do four next week, Lord willing. Romans chapter number 10. It's just working out that way. Okay? Romans chapter number 10 and verse 13-14. Familiar. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him and whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And it's not talking about a preacher like me. It's talking about somebody that proclaims forth the gospel. Okay? Anybody that proclaims forth the gospel is preaching gospel. How shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And there in verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Carl F. H. Henry said, the gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. If it gets there in time. Now, Paul had the general purpose that we have, we all have. But Paul had a specific purpose. We read about the specific purpose. The Lord sent him specific directions, told him specific things to do. It's good to know the will of God for your life, you know, and to find out what the Lord would have you to do. And Paul knew that, and Timothy knew that Paul knew that. He knew that he could see that godly purpose unfolding in the Apostle Paul's life. So, mark of sound doctrine or teaching, mark of godly behavior and conduct, and there's the mark of godly purpose. Amen. Some things for us to think about and to also follow as we see that in others. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for those that have come out. We thank you for the Word of God. Lord, it is where we get teaching, where we get our doctrine from. And doctrine is important. I know there's a lot of people that want to cast doctrine aside because they say doctrine divides. But doctrine is essential. And Lord, we know that it's important what we're taught and what we teach. Lord, help us to embrace sound doctrine and And we embrace sound doctrine by listening to those who teach sound doctrine, so that we might be proclaimers of sound doctrine to those who need to hear from us. Lord, help us to watch our behavior and our conduct the way the Apostle Paul did. Lord, so easy for us to say the truth and not live the truth. Lord, help us to be people who are ones that live what we say. And Lord, I don't know tonight the purpose that you have for folks that are here tonight, the specific purpose, but I do know the general purpose, and that it applies to us all. And Lord, help us to see and embrace that purpose that applies to us. And Lord, help us to find out from your word and from the leading of the Holy Spirit, Lord, what you would have us to do. And God, may we be willing to do your purpose in our lives. Just bless us now, this invitation time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.